One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Buongiorno. I mean, what's the morning one? Bonjour.
Yes, ciao, ciao. Buongiorno. Buongiorno, buongiorno.
Coming, Grace O'Neill, coming to us from a very chic-looking hotel room. It's no Sky Suites Green Square, I can tell you that.
I'm very happy to be here, but I'm very tired. As I was telling you, I'm here on a work trip. We went out to dinner last night, beautiful dinner, and on the way back, there was roadworks everywhere, just like very Italian vibes. Like instead of just one road so you can go somewhere else, it was like every single road. And the driver couldn't speak any English. And it was just so funny because he just kept going. We were like, what's going on? What's going on? He just kept going, oh, mamma mia, mamma mia.
That kind of reminds me about when I went to Italy, actually literally this time last year, and was supposed to be going on this gorgeous, stunning, beautiful press trip to Tuscany. Had never been to Tuscany, was like, eat, pray, love, gonna go and lie by the pool, gonna take 1,000 shots of me looking so gorgeous and all these bikinis I packed. Get there, pouring with rain, cannot do any of the scheduled activities, which were like these outdoor dinners, this gorgeous stuff for this amazing hotel that had just reopened. Cannot do anything, stuck inside. My room, for some ungodly reason, was above the like kitchen and hangout area. So when I went to bed, I could hear everything from the restaurant for the whole night. And then once the restaurant closed, the staff kicked on.
No.
And like continued to drink all night long. And then I stupidly was like, I'm going to Tuscany. I don't care. Even though I was going to Sydney for Fashion Week like that next day. So I pushed my Fashion Week flights all the way to the very last second of me arriving for Monday morning, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And then was like, how? And then it was raining the entire time. Then I had to get a 3 a.m. transfer from Tuscany to get to the airport so that I could make my flight to Sydney. And it was so cursed when I woke up in the morning and was like struggling with my bags in the pouring rain in Italy. And I was like, this was so cursed and not worthwhile. And then I was like exhausted the whole week at Fashion Week and was like,
yeah, that is so sad. I'm really at an age now where I think sleep is my priority possibly over anything else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I care about. It's my first love.
And if you don't get a good sleep, I don't know, I'm such a baby man. Like if I don't get a good 8 hours, like a full 8 hours, if I get 7 hours, you'll fucking hear about it. Today, yeah. I got 6.
Not enough.
We're both struggling.
It's not enough. Honestly, I've realized that most nights, I think, I had this realization yesterday because my little sleep alarm went off being like, it's time to go to bed at 10 p.m. and I was like, I go to bed at 10 p.m. probably every night and I wake up at 8 a.m. And I was like, I have 10 hours sleep a night and it never feels like enough.
Yeah.
That's like nearly half of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. My ideal situation is sleeping, like bed at 10, kind of muck around for a little bit, sleep, start trying to sleep 10:30,
mm-hmm.
or start trying to sleep, 10:30, be asleep at 10:30, and then wake up at 7:30, but I would like to sleep till 8. But 7:30, I feel like more accomplished.
I think I need to work my way up to 7:30. I had like a few good days. I think we've all probably seen, I've seen some like TikToks or something about how the best thing you can do when you wake up is go straight into natural light for half an hour. Mm-hmm. Like it's especially bad to look at your phone. So I tried to get up and walk like first thing in the morning last week. I think it only lasted a day or two, but it was really nice. I'm really working on the morning routine.
Or sleeping with the curtains open so you wake up to natural light, which obviously doesn't help in like London winter because the sun doesn't come up till fucking 1 p.m.
Yeah.
But yeah, my friend, I was staying at my friend's house in Auckland the other day and I went into her room when she was in bed and just all her curtains were wide open. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's wild.
And she just sleeps like that, but wakes like with street the sun. Lights and stuff. Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
So I need to warn everybody that I'm at my grandma's house. Aww. I've tried to explain what a podcast is like 18 times and she doesn't understand. She also is like, it's sad, but you have to find the funniness in it. She's getting dementia, so she will have forgotten this entirely. She probably doesn't even know I'm here, hopefully, but yeah, there might be some disruption in today's episode, which is coming to you from Milan and Hastings Hawke's Bay. Couldn't be more juxtaposing places.
So nice. Are you happy being back? How do you feel being home? I mean, you were back a few months ago. A constant visitor.
Yeah, I was home in December. And it's funny because usually I haven't come home in years. So usually it's like 2 years between when I see my family. And then this time it was like I had the opportunity to come back to get flights back through Fashion Week and come home. And it was kind of the opposite. It was like because I'd been home and it was cozy and I was like, I fucking love New Zealand and it's so nice seeing my family and my godsons. I came back faster, which was really nice. But dunno, home is just, as anyone who lives overseas will know, home is not a relaxing place.
Yeah, or you need to be back for a long time for it to become relaxing. Like when you're on a visit, it's just so hectic.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of really nice because I'm staying at my best friend's house and it has been very chill. But at the same time, like I did just say to my mum, Mum, I know you're excited to see me, but I've had a really stressful day. I've just got to do some work. Would you mind just giving me some space? And then she patted me on the head. Like literally patted me on the head. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to murder you.
Donna's
a little
best.
Head pat.
Yeah, that's nice. Oh. A nice little pat.
How did you find packing for your trip?
I think I've got to a certain degree for these like in and out work trips. I've got a bit of a system, which is I'll write down like every single thing that we're going to be doing. I'll basically spend like a good 2 hours putting aside to like pack because I used to just throw every single thing I ever owned in like a panicked way into a giant suitcase. I now hate traveling with check on unless I have to. So I try to be quite horrible. Minimal, but I always have that last minute panic like I did yesterday that like everything I packed is just slightly wrong or that I'm going to have missed the vibe and then be stuck with stuff. You know, I just think there's no way around feeling like you've packed wrong.
Do you have an Apple AirTag?
No, I need an Apple AirTag desperately.
Grace, honestly. Desperately.
They're expensive though.
They're fucking worth it because I would have gotten my luggage back.
Yeah.
And so the reason I ask what your packing system is because I agree that is like the perfect way to pack. Biggie Joan Didion have the list of
yes.
Joan Didion, what was it? She has a list of everything that she wants to pack every time and she'll just run through that list.
Yeah. And it was really chic. Very chic. It was like a mohair throw, a bottle of bourbon. I reckon she's full of shit. She was like the personal branding queen. And then like stockings and a leotard or something.
Do you know what's very funny about that It Girl issue, which finally arrived at my door because the New York New York Magazine takes like 8 years to arrive in LA for some reason, but it finally arrived at my door and I was reading through it and I was just like, this is so funny because we feel now as though we're, you mentioned this once when we were talking to that Haley girl about how everyone has been curated through the ages, but we just think we're super curated and fake because of Instagram and social media makes it so obvious.
Yeah.
But exactly as you say with Joan Didion, she's probably completely full of shit, R.I.P. Wait, is she alive?
No, she's dead.
Oh my God. I just was like, oh my God, she's alive.
And she's going to come see you.
I saw her documentary the other day. She was alive and kicking. and the... sorry, lost myself. Oh, and the New York Magazine piece was like talking about how the It Girls would come, so like they'd come to a party, right, as at the peak of the party, one of them, I can't remember who it was, who the fuck was it, and then she'd walk around, say hi to everyone, and then leave immediately, and then the party would crash, and she was like, then everyone thinks the party crashed because you left immediately. And I was like, do you literally do that? Do you go out, get dressed up, go to a party for 2 minutes and then leave just specifically so people will miss you and think you're important? And then this other two would arrive together, go to separate ends of the venue and then walk through the entire venue asking people if they'd seen the other one so that everyone would learn their names and know who they were and be like, oh, they're a big deal because people are asking about them. I was like, that is so
much effort.
Crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, no one's accidentally an It Girl, you know? That's, they make it look effortless. They make it look like they're not trying, but they have to try a lot.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with like you say, like the Kardashians are so perfect at that, like just staying, they're so obsessed with staying culturally relevant, which I can't understand because I'm just like, you have $1 billion and all of the like resources in the world to have these amazing lives. Why do you still want to be famous? Yeah. But I guess it just must get addictive. Once people kind of like recognize you and care about you, you wouldn't want them to stop.
Yeah, I guess. I think I heard something about Kim Kardashian where which made her make sense in my brain, where she basically says like she wants every person on planet Earth to know who she is. Like that's her. So that makes, if that's your goal in your brain, because I always wonder how they can ride out these controversies or how they can deal with the media glare or how they can deal with like constantly having to think about what they say. But I'm like, if that's your end goal, is every person on literally the planet knows who I am, then that other shit, you're like, perfect, great, everyone hates me, that's awesome. That's X amount of million extra people that are going to find out who I am through thing.
That is so random.
It's so wild and sick. And that's the thing is that's funny actually on the It Girl thing, which I didn't think about at the time, but the reality is probably that the coolest people in the world in terms of who we'd admire the most and whose style we would love them, I don't know, we probably will never find out who they are because the coolest thing you can do is maybe not be an It Girl.
Yeah, I mean, I do think obviously, like, obviously, the reason they became It Girls in the first place, to a degree, was, like, because they are those girls.
Yeah.
And I think it's just them keeping it alive, as you say, can be very calculated and curated. And it's like Chloe Sevigny literally said she turned down Gorgeous Thingy's role in Legally Blonde.
Mm.
Because she didn't want to be thought of as a sellout and she wanted to stay in that cool zone, which I guess is different to being an It Girl. That's kind of just like career branding. But at the same time, it's like
being Legally Blonde.
Yeah. But that was a mistake, basically. But the reason I ask about your packing is because I have had the most insanely stressful time in every airport, bar the one when I first flew to Sydney, because as we all know from last week's Patreon episode, shopping up a goddamn storm, won't be stopped, can't be stopped.
Suitcase.
One, I mean, I'm buying like coats.
Yeah.
And I have to lug them back to summer.
Yeah.
One chicken suitcase, 23 kg maximum. When I just flew just now from Auckland to, I managed to sneak it from I managed to sneak the whole thing from Sydney to... Oh, no, fuck, I didn't, actually. I had to check in my carry-on. They made me check in my carry-on. And I was, like, about to have a breakdown because that doesn't have an ear tag in it and that has all my precious bits in it.
Precious.
So you need an ear tag so desperately precious in case... Precious bits in case they make you check it in. I will not, like... If every girl listening to this needs fucking ear tags...
Yeah.
Then they made me check that in. And then I... On my little flight from Auckland to Hawke's Bay... My check-in was supposed to be 23. It was 26.7 or something.
Mm.
And I just charmed my way out of it, out of the woman charging me. And then well she done. Looked at my carry-on and I just like would have gone, I was just like, no.
Don't look. Don't
leave
look,
that little
look
away suitcase out of it. And then she goes, put that on the weights. And it was 14 kgs instead of 7.
Oh my God. Why does she care so much? Just stay out of it, lady.
I know. I was like, mind your own fucking business. And then she goes, that's too much. And then looked at me again. And then someone tapped her and she turned slightly.
And you ran.
And I scuttled away. I like ran away through the airport.
Well done.
And I was wearing two coats on my body.
And a huge pair of sunglasses so she never saw you again.
I want to die.
That is the worst feeling when you're like loaded down. With luggage. I think that's my most hated feeling. When I'm walking through an airport, everything's heavy, everything's weighing you down. You're like, what's wrong with me? I wish I just had like one little bag.
It's horrible. I was just like, I hate you. I hate you to myself. I had our microphone in my fucking handbag to like stop it weighing down my suitcase. It was so annoying.
It's all clothes, those 14 kgs. You're a 50 kg queen traveling with endless bags around the world, around the globe.
So stupid. And then I put up a photo when I got home drunk and put up a photo on my... Once you start storying, you can't stop. Once you pop, you can't stop.
I'm always like, why did I used to story all the time? And then when I start, I'm like, oh God, it's fun. The feedback
loop. So yeah, I'm just storying like... I'm storying fucking everything. I'm storying like... fucking chips I've been eating, the view outside the car window, like anything and everything chip. That I spy with my little eye. And then I got home drunk and continued storying after this night out in Sydney and put up a thing of like all of my Rationnel beauty products that I carted all around the world.
Well done.
And then realized the next day that there's like 15 and that's probably half the weight of my suitcase.
Got to be done. Got to take like worth the kilo space for that liquid mecca.
Why no? Because it's literally my routine. I have the 1, 2, 3, the 4, the 5, the 5, 6. I have 2 5s.
2 5s. I have to say the numbers really like them. Really like that strategy. It speaks to something same. Deep inside my body to just. Be like 1, 2, 3.
Same. I agree. I love seeing them spread out. I remember when you used to have a Rationnel and I didn't have it, and I'd go into your bathroom and it would just be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So you went to the, wait, you went to the, did you get your skin thing done? Your scan?
Yeah, so I said this. I obviously texted you immediately after, but have been meaning to say it on the podcast because it was so terrifying and enlightening and very interesting. Basically, I literally was like, this is the best day of my entire life because Rationnel has opened up in LA, which is what I was thinking. I was like, I didn't know if they were just an Australia thing or if they were international, but like this is their first kind of foray into the US market, and I feel like they're going to do so well.
Mm-hmm.
And they opened up on Melrose Place, like very, very chic. Gorgeous. Melrose Place, like surrounded by the Margiela store and Bottega Veneta and everything. And they said I could come in for a special skin consultation, which is what you got so many years ago, which turned you onto the brand.
Yes. And it's I was like, terrifying. I just like,
yes,
you see your face on a degree that is very confronting.
Yeah, because what they do is they scan your face to find like your skin's genetic blueprint is what it is, and it's like they're collecting DNA samples through the scan. Obviously, it doesn't hurt or anything. You just put your face forward onto a thing. And then it shows all of the different levels of your skin and its damage and the freckles and the like acne and the dryness and the lines and what lines are genetic and what lines are sun damage. And it was crazy. It was so interesting though, because I was just like, I always want to talk about skincare, and just having someone like, and I'm a narcissist, and having someone just like stare at my face and talk about every freckle. I was like,
please continue. So the sun damage thing was so confronting to me. And I remember the woman just saying, like, it's just normal when you grow up in like Australia or New Zealand. But it's, I think my sun damage was like equivalent to someone 10 years older than me. It was very, very confronting. It's when I started becoming obsessive about sunscreen, which I've dropped off on lately.
Yeah, so the angel Katie, so she said that my skin age, is 36. And she was just like, it's normal. She was just like, it is hardly ever that it is your actual age, and like never below. She was just like, in 5 years, I've never seen anyone be below. But, and as you say, like growing up in Australia and New Zealand, and I just never had a care in the world for SPF until recent years. So, but she said you can bring it down. So she's been like, basically then tailored my rationale regime to what my skin scan said, which is so special. And she also said things like the skin underneath my eye, my eyes were super dry and just like wasn't getting, she was like, do you put your moisturizer up here to the, because she was like, yeah, eye creams, we just don't really think, we don't even have an eye cream because we just don't really even think they work most of the time.
Yeah, but she's
so honest. So then she said, but she was just like, do you not put your products up to the to your eye? And I was like, I don't even know, my eyes are super sensitive, so maybe just by kind of by default I haven't been going up. And they were poor like super dry skin under there, so you must moisturize under your eyes, girls.
That's a very good tip, actually. I don't think I moisturize under my eyes, and then I also don't use eye cream.
Yeah. And then she also said, which I didn't realize, when she was talking me through my routine, I realized she didn't say anything about cleansing in the morning. And she was just like, yeah, you don't. She was just like, yeah, I just wouldn't usually cleanse in the morning, only at night. And then in the morning, just wash your face with water. Mm-hmm. But then if you exercise to cleanse after that, if you're not exercising, just wash with water and put your products on, which I found super interesting.
Yes.
But definitely want to keep the girls updated on the skin journey, because my skin, thanks to that, thanks to Rationale and the dermatologist, which I didn't realize, they do like a full immersive thing. So you can actually just go to them, which is what makes them so great, because it's kind of like an in-between of the two.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to them and they'll actually, they have dermatologists and they have people they can work with to like fully fix your skin and like a full immersive thing with the skincare and everything. But I went to that crazy derm. So, but the combination of the two is like, see my skin?
Yeah, it's looking amazing. Glowing, fresh, clear, beautiful. Love.
But might need my own check on for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best. I want like little ones for travel. They're actually good for travel. They're actually already kind of travel size, but I want mini ones.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with
what
mini.
What have you done so far with the skin prep? Where's the skin prep conversation gone?
Oh, for the wedding. I really need to get started on that and thinking about it, because it's a year out now. Yay.
So exciting. So many people, it was really funny. So many people don't know you're engaged. Then other people were like, someone goes, was it really a mistake when you outed Grace's ring with the Dunkin' Donuts? I was like, obviously Grace didn't approve of her fucking engagement, like, announcement being her dropping Dunkin' Donuts on the ground in an AWD.
Ben Affleck, the most cursed.
Yeah.
I think I just get overwhelmed, and I kind of just need like this thing you're talking about. I kind of just need an authoritative figure to just tell me. I need a skin mom to just be like, do this. Cause I get overwhelmed. I go on Reddit. I speak to people. I look up ludicrously expensive, like at home treatments. I look up ludicrously expensive not at home treatments. I did skin needling and then I haven't had the follow-up appointment. Like, I just feel like I'm directionless and I need some direction.
They were saying, when I was in there, they were saying that, like, one of their biggest, who was it? I think it was honestly Vera Wang or some amazing designer is now sending their wedding clients to the Rationale Melrose Boutique. Mm. So you should just speak to them.
Yeah.
Another reason to come to
Another
LA.
Another reason to fly over for luxurious. I'm so excited. I think about it all the time. I'm planning in my brain our September trip.
Same.
Girlies on tour. As well. A girly road trip.
Oh my God. And there's a girl subleasing my room and she heard the neighbor having SEX.
No. Stop that. He needs to stop. We're sex positive except for him. Yeah. No.
I said he's going to get a curse text, but yeah, let's carry on.
Yeah, he needs to be told.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Okay, Khan. Really, really good Khan this year, I feel. It's a good
Lots
one.
Lots is going on.
Lots happening, a bit of drama, great, great looks, and a good weird mix of people. Like, I was just Googling it this morning and apparently Tom Hanks got caught, like, screaming at someone.
oh, my God.
Which I'm excited about.
Wait, did Irina Shayk... Oh, no. What's she doing now? What's this naughty girl doing now? Okay. For a quick hot second, I thought she wore track pants on the red carpet.
Oh, enough.
But she didn't. But she is going kind of crazy with her looks.
She is loving it. She's loving Can.
Moa Lola. She's wearing Moa Lola. That's so random for her.
Who is styling her now?
Yeah.
Did you see? I've been looking at the Maya Hawke Prada fit, starred by Harry Lambert. I need you to look at it now if you haven't seen it, because I actually need to talk about it in detail, I think.
Okay.
And we need to talk specifically about the boots.
Okay, I'm getting it up. Okay.
It's like such a good look, I think. But then I'm like,
yeah.
Is the boot really cool and like elevates it to a new level, or is it just really random?
But I don't know what else. So, okay, Maya Hawke is wearing Prada. She's wearing a green, like, what? How would you describe this dress? So
it's like a
strapless and kind of corseted and structured skirt. And then blue gloves. So green and then these. What is that color blue?
Dare we say cerulean? It's some sort of.
Cerulean.
Cornflower, maybe.
And then white, patent white.
Like
white
go-go boots.
Boots.
I'm obsessed with the blue and the green together. I think it's really, really good.
Me too. I don't know what color boots. I don't know what you would do with the footwear otherwise, kind of. I kind of love it because I'm just like, what would you do that wouldn't be super boring and detract from the look?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like if she just wore sandals, some strappy
sandal. Yeah. A sling back. I guess you're right. Everything else would be a little tame and boring. But I just don't know if I can...
Unless there was some version of, like, a really cool heel that worked, where it was, like, a kitten heel, but a really exaggerated kind of long point or something like that.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sold. But I love that she's being styled by Harry Lambert. I think it's icon behavior from Maya. I really like Maya Hawke. I don't know why.
Yeah, she's cool. She gives kind of it girl energy.
Yeah, she's very charming and likable. Like when I didn't know she was Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter when I watched Stranger Things. It's so random that I watched Stranger Things. But she's very...
Everybody watched Stranger Things.
I know. I like don't so, like that fantasy shit at all, but I like fucking suck up Stranger Things when it comes out.
So you're still up to date. I did like the first two seasons and then dropped off.
I am up to date and I don't even know if I like
that's,
it.
That's funny. Like, remember when we were watching Riverdale?
Yes, yes. Like, Netflix just knows how to suck me into... Netflix, like, Stockholm syndromes you with these fucking shows. Riverdale? I think Riverdale finished, like, a week ago. It's on... That whole cast was, like, held captive for 7 years.
I love that Julia Fox is here so much.
Is she there?
She's there because the Idol premiered last night.
Oh, man.
So crazy. They did the first two episodes at Cannes. And so I think it comes out June 9th.
Okay. Will we watch it?
So, I don't know. Boycott it?
Boycott the Idol?
In protest?
Of the weekend in general. Oh, my God. Yeah,
I kind of want to. Those men are so sick. In a bad way.
Lily Rose Depp looked like cautious, I felt, in those images. I think she's been burned.
Yeah, do you think? I mean, it also just feels funny them standing on either side. I don't know. I'm just like, even those images, I think because I just have such a bad perception of those two men, them standing beside her in her little short dress with their arms around her. And I'm just like, she's not your
leave her alone.
Trophy.
Leave her alone. Yeah, apparently she didn't want to do any press for it because she feels so burned from the... There was like a source that said she's worried her words will be taken out of context again. And I'm like, they weren't taken out. Like, I don't think she knows what taken out of context means.
Oh, my God. Scarlett Johansson and Sydney Sweeney both wore very similar dresses.
Mm.
So Scarlett wore this pink kind of... gown with showing the white bra, and then Sydney Sweeney wore a white slip dress showing her blue bra with cups.
Were they both the same designer, both Prada?
No, I don't think so. Just super similar looks.
I really like Scarlett Johansson's, I have to say.
Yeah.
So this was for Asteroid City, which is the new Wes Anderson movie, yes? With everyone in it. This was like a big hype movie. I haven't seen the reviews yet. The other huge one was the new Martin Scorsese movie, which everyone freaked the fuck out about and said was like one of his best ever and a masterpiece. And it is called Killers of the Flower Moon. Unfortunately, it has Leo, but we can't have it all. But it's, I think it's based on a true story. It stars this amazing, apparently amazing woman, Lily Gladstone, and it's to do with murdered members of a like Native American tribe based on a famous book, I think, which is based on a true story, but I think it's going to be like massive.
Oh, wow.
A massive Oscar flick and potentially another.
I'm excited for some new films.
Some new films. And then... who were the other big ones? I mean, Jennifer Lawrence looked fucking incredible, I thought, in that red look. Retro.
She looked amazing.
Incredible J-Lo glamour.
Did you see that she took her heels off and then put on black flip-flops by the row for the red carpet? Which at first I was just like, I didn't realize there was significance with that because in 2015, all these women were turned away from attending the premiere of Carol because they were wearing flats. And Khan has this like really archaic rule that all women must wear heels for the event. So that's why Kristen Stewart took off her shoes and walked without shoes on that time, which I just was like, I just thought her feet were sore, but there's more to the story.
There's more to the tale. That is so far. It's literally still, I mean, it can't be a legal requirement, but it's like a festival requirement that all the women wear heels, and it's literally insane.
That's so stupid.
Turning away women who are wearing flats to the Carol premiere is quite literally homophobic.
Yeah.
That is so fucked up. What's wrong with them? They're so French.
So I love everything that Jennie wears from Blackpink.
Yeah.
She always looks so good. Just always. I can't believe she's in the Idol as well. That's cursed.
No, so cursed.
She always just looks amazing. I think she was wearing Chanel again. And then I think I really liked Brie Larson's, but I can't put my finger on what I like about it. Like, when I actually look at it, I don't like it. But when I see her, I like it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Natalie Portman looked amazing. She wore these like kind of redone archival Dior looks. And on TikTok, everyone was like, Natalie Portman's on Ozempic. And I was like, have any of you children seen her before?
Yeah.
Like, she just looks exactly the same.
She's been thin forever.
Looked, yes. It's actually quite funny, the like, young people online are just so sincere, and it's really nice, and we were obviously like very sincere online ourselves up until a minute ago, so there's like nothing wrong with it, but they just as soon as anything happens, they just want to jump on with like a hot take or to bemoan something or to talk about it, and sometimes it's like there's nothing to see here.
I know, them also saying everyone's on Ozempic is kind of the like 2023 version of PR relationships, which I think we're now realizing that most of the time these relationships that we think are PR are actually just not, because who has the time for that? Like, celebrities entering 3-year-long deals to like live their lives driving their cars around and like parking outside another celebrity's house, and then I don't know, I just think we went too far with that one.
Yes. We went too far, and also, like, half the time people are saying something's a PR relationship about a couple, like Emrata and Harry Styles, who were just photographed, like, this culture of constant surveillance where people just take photos of people everywhere and have no sense of shame about it. That is the source of so many of these quote-unquote new couples. And then people are like, PR. And it's like, no, you just invade their privacy in an obscene way.
Yeah.
So that's why it feels like there's constant random couples, because they can't even just walk. Two celebrities can't even go to a coffee shop together without it being splashed on Dumois like 3 hours later.
I know, it's so foul. I think it would just be really, it'd be so intense being a celebrity right now, especially. Just everywhere you look.
I feel sorry for Harry Styles. Yeah. Harry Styles specifically, it feels like people just dog him, like, when he's out. Like, you just never, I guess Taylor Swift is, I think she's probably a lot stricter with where she goes and what she does. Like, you don't really just see her out and about in the same way. But Harry Styles, I just feel like all over TikTok is people just seeing him and just following him and talking to him or filming him or whatever. And it's just, he's a human being.
I know. It would be so tiring. Like, literally, I don't know, this is obviously like the most insane example in the world. I'm gonna sound like so crazy for saying this, but like in Sydney when I went to the Bondi Markets and was seen by one girl and then another person really quickly, and they were both really cute and lovely AWD girlies, I just suddenly was like, I just didn't feel like, I was just like, oh, I just don't feel like
I can't go anywhere anymore.
Well, I was just like, oh, I just don't like feel anonymous, which is a weird feeling, because like you're so used to being anonymous as a person. Like, if you go places, you're not going to like, unless you know someone, they're not going to know who you are. And that must be such, and like, obviously, like, this is such an insanely tiny scale, but we just have like more audience in Sydney, so there's some girlies about, and like they spot you. And then it was like, I was suddenly just like, oh, I don't feel like anonymous. And suddenly I feel that weird kind of like insecure feeling of just, you know, I don't know, when I likened it to like when I was younger and I used to be embarrassed about eating at a restaurant by myself. That was how it kind of felt, because I was just walking around by myself. And then I was suddenly like, oh, are people just like, there's that girl from that podcast and she's not actually that stylish, and why is she by herself? And I was just like, ah. And then I was just like, imagine if you were a celebrity and every single place you went, people knew who you were looking at you, were looking at what you were wearing, were watching your every move if you were having a bad day. It would just be so tiring.
Yeah. So tiring. Just that constant, like, either performing, like, performing yourself. Like, you know that feeling of just feeling like you have to be on? Like, yesterday when I got flight from London, which is, like, nothing, but the flight was super delayed. It was basically just, like, a long day, and I didn't have enough time to, like, come back to the hotel and get changed and get ready. I had to go kind of straight out to dinner. And I was just thinking about the concept of being on, because it was a dinner with, like, lovely people who I really like talking to. Like, nothing about it is hard. It's just how much energy it takes you to be in that mental headspace of, like, being on. I don't know how else to describe it. But it's a real energy suck. And if you are famous and every interaction someone has with you, they're judging their entire view of your character, or, you know, it's, like, the best moment of their life or whatever, your energy would just be at zero. It would be so fucking draining.
And also, you know that people are going to go and retell that interaction to, like, a bunch of other people. And also, when you attend an event, you know that you're, for a lot of it, it's like they're attending events because they are the main attraction of the event. So people are waiting for them. It would be so weird and anxiety inducing to be, like, rolling up to, like, I don't know, I'm just thinking about when Kendall Jenner was sent to Sydney for the Tiffany & Co. store opening. It'd be so weird to be driving up to this event with hundreds of people inside, knowing that your build is the main attraction and you're not a performer or anything. You're just going there to kind of walk inside.
I always think about that thing with Kendall Jenner. That is the most insane experience I've had with, like, fame as a concept, because we lined up and spoke, like, interviewed her. And Sydney's pretty chill. Like, people aren't really that obsessed with celebrities. I've never really seen them, like, turn out in a crazy way for anyone. There was, like, a pack of people, and they were screeching and screaming and hysterical about her when she came out. And I just remember looking in her eyes, her big, beautiful eyes, and it was just, she just had this ability to, like, glass over and, like, not see it. And I was like, how this, that would have been so small fry compared to what she's used to. But just, like, what you have to do psychologically and mentally to compartmentalize yourself from, like, wherever you walk, tens of thousands of people scream, like, just lose their ability to act like normal human beings, is kind of terrifying.
That's why I find it insane that they want to stay.
They want this.
They want to stay so famous, because obviously with actors and musicians and, like, models as well, I guess, like, obviously, but when it, that's a byproduct of doing the job you love. But when it's just fame that you're craving, it feels kind of random. I know, I can understand it getting kind of addictive, people talking about you, and then if they start not talking about you, you'd start to feel like you're irrelevant, and that would suck for sure. But also, just go to your little at-home gym and do a TikTok walk and get your chef to make you some food and chill.
Yeah, that is probably what they spend most of their time doing. I am jealous. Okay, so wait, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, let's talk about this quickly. Have you seen this?
Vaguely.
I mean, it's not really drama, it's just an interesting thing. So Phoebe Waller-Bridge is there for the new Indiana Jones, which we both love and adore her, but I just could not give less of a fuck about an Indiana Jones reboot. I don't know your feelings on the franchise.
I've never seen it. I'm
an Indiana Jones girly. Yeah, I think I've seen, like, one forever ago.
I think I'd probably like it if I watched. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen, like, James Bond or any, like, what's that one Tom Cruise is in, like, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really know why she wanted to be an Indiana Jones, but I guess it's, like, a massive thing, because she was so hot and in demand, everyone wanted to work with her, and this was, like, one of the first big, she actually worked on Bond, and now she's worked on this, and she's, like, an actress in the movie, but also, I think, either co-wrote it or produced it or something, involved behind the scenes, and she looks fucking amazing, so hot on the red carpet, adore her. But I saw an interesting tweet about why she hadn't been asked about the writer's strike, because a lot of people at the, like, whatever, the panel discussions, interviews afterwards are being asked about their views on the writer's strike because it's still going on. And someone basically tweeted saying, did anyone ask Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who had the $60 million three-year Amazon deal that resulted in no film or TV, a deal that was just renewed, about the writer's strike? She's one of the highly paid outliers. Has she discussed the issues facing the majority of writers who aren't? And I basically did some more reading about this, and she got, as I think we all remember, after Fleabag came out and was this huge success, season two, Amazon offered her a $20 million production deal to create stuff for them. And I thought at the time, that doesn't mean actually $20 million. That means it's like a deal worth $20 million or something, something, or maybe it's going to happen over 5 years or whatever, whatever. No, it literally meant she got paid $20 million a year, and it was a three-year deal, and she signed it in 2020. And we went into COVID. And she has not worked on a single project and has reportedly still got $20 million a year. And they've just re-signed. And basically this, the Guardian article breaks down all the projects she kind of started to work on. So she started to work on a, which is so random, a TV series based on the 2005 movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Donald Glover.
I would be so keen for this. Bring it out.
Them playing Mr. and Mrs. Smith as well. That's what we need to see. We need to see it. But they're friends, and they basically couldn't agree on like the creative style of it. So that didn't happen. And then she went to go and work on a Tomb Raider TV series instead. But she's not the showrunner. She's kind of just overseeing scripts or slightly involved. So she isn't really involved in it. And that hasn't gone into production either. And so throughout this whole three-year period, her name hasn't been put on anything that's actually come out. And she's just kind of been around as just a person. And Amazon was asked about it and by The Guardian, and they said, Amazon Studios has rejected recent allegations that Waller-Bridge is being paid simply to exist. Apparently she is feeling, quote, feeling very committed to the Tomb Raider project.
Feeling very committed. I love that. Feeling. She's feeling.
She's feeling committed. Yeah. And they expect her to be worth the money. When she does deliver, she delivers, the Amazon Studios head of television, Vernon Sanders, has said. Not everyone is so sure that the deal was a good idea, however. One showrunner described Amazon's behavior to the Hollywood Reporter as star fucking. So this apparently happened as well with J.J. Abrams, with the guys from South Park, all non-coincidentally, like, very white, very like privileged people, but they there's been this thing that's happened recently of these stars like J.J. Abrams, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and Matt Stone and Trey Parker getting these like obscene $60 million deals, $90 million deals, $100 million deals. Harry and Meghan are a great example with Netflix, yes. $100 million deals. And it was at this time, I think a lot of them happened at this time, where the streaming giants felt unstoppable and we're just throwing money around, and they signed really bad deals, basically, where people didn't actually have to deliver the content. They had time restrictions on them, so if nothing was done in a specific amount of time, it didn't matter. A lot of them didn't even include like non-compete clauses, so the South Park guys were literally creating. They had to create, I think, 3 seasons of South Park for Paramount Plus, and they hated working with them. So to get around it, they cut the length of a season from 18 episodes to 6 episodes.
Oh, my God.
Because that was, like, a hole in the contract. And then they started making content for, like, a competitor at the same time.
Now they're trying to make you sign in from the home device every few months, or you're kicked off the account because they've gone, like, fucking shoved money down everyone's pockets thinking that money was endless. It's so silly. I can't believe this Phoebe Waller-Bridge stuff.
It's nuts. I'm like, okay, great. If anyone is going to just bleed Jeff Bezos dry, Phoebe Waller-Bridge is like very high on my list of people. But I just think it's really worth talking about in the sense of, yeah, the writer's strike is going on because most 99% of writers can't even make a fucking basic living. They get no if their show goes off Chops and becomes really, really, really successful, they don't get like extra money based on how streamed it is. And she really is a total outlier. And it's basically about brands like Amazon trying to patch up their bad image with like young, like a, with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, like a young, talented woman that tells interesting, nuanced stories about women. They're just like slapping, like throwing money at her to like slap her, whatever you call it, thing over their bad reputation. And it basically, when you think about how much money that is, $60 million US, that's like coming at the cost of so many writers who aren't getting paid. And it's like not like Phoebe Waller-Bridge's fault. It's just an, it's just a fucked up part of the system.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just that that thing where they care about the name, but then it's, yeah, I think Michaela, God, I do this every time where I'm like, I can't remember if Coel is the wrong way to say it and it's just Michaela Cole, or if it is just Michaela Cole, right?
I actually feel exactly the same. I don't know. I thought it was Michaela Coel, and now
every single time, I have such a thing with names. Like every time I'm like, I can't remember if it was like, because they overthink it and I'm like, I can't remember if it's the right way or the wrong way. But that's why she did such a good job of like it was just so smart to be like, I'm not going to sign any deals. I'm just going to sit back until I have the work, until I know. Because same with Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Like Phoebe Waller-Bridge won't want to release anything unless it's amazing, because then her name will be mud, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And same after I May Destroy You. And Michaela was just she was just like, I need to sit back and wait for a good idea to come. And then when that comes, she'll obviously be able to go out and pitch it out and make millions and millions of dollars. There'll be such a huge bidding war on that. I find it so weird how they, well, I guess it's because, I guess the studios want to lock them in, so they have to make the content for them. But it's so strange that they wouldn't just save that 20, I guess maybe then someone would bid higher. But it's like, save that $60 million, and when Phoebe Waller-Bridge has a project, say, we'll pay for $60 million for it, and then you know you're actually getting something.
Yeah, exactly. And they're doing it. I mean, Phoebe Waller-Bridge at least makes a lot of sense because she makes amazing. I hate how we call shows, like, content now.
Yeah.
I hate the word content, death to content. But yeah, makes so much more sense than, like, Harry and Meghan, for example, not to, like, pile on them even more.
They've been through enough the past few weeks.
They
actually have.
Yeah, they have. I know. God bless them. I just want to give those two a little cuddle. Yeah, but it is a weird thing. I think it's like the blame lies with the streamers, because it just shows that the money is there if they want it. You know, it's just like they're very selective with how they use it. But I think I like how that person worded that tweet, because they weren't like, why hasn't Phoebe Waller-Bridge spoken about the strike? They're like, why hasn't someone asked her about it? Because I'd love to hear her opinion on it as someone who has this very specific experience. And I think that's the right way to go about it. It's not about demonizing her or putting her in this weird, like, false opposition with the rest of the writers, you know?
Yeah. It's also just that like, kind of... what is it called? That kind of worship mentality of just like thinking of someone as being this divine kind of, I don't know. It's just like, she's obviously very clever and very smart, but there are so many very clever, very smart people who, as we say, when we spoke about her once, you know, if they had the resources to be able, that she had, she was like really privileged growing up, to be able to just write and kind of hone in on her creativity, there'd be so many more Phoebe Waller-Bridges that like studios like Amazon could be fostering by just paying their staff properly, so that the staff have the time and the energy and the brain space to be able to create. Like they will have some amazing screenwriters in there that they're just like ignoring to shove money in the direction of someone else who was privileged to begin with, and that's how they got there, instead of just like, that's how they had the like time to be able to create. It's just so stupid. Like, it would be so, imagine the content, sorry, that we would get if we paid all these incredible people that have been hired because they're good at their jobs and gave them the space and energy and time and like fostered them enough to create. It's sad.
Exactly.
I also saw a tweet that said, can some AI just like pick some plastic out of the ocean, or do all of them have to be screenwriters?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's like watching Succession this season, I just can't get over the writing in that show. And I just think that it's so like miraculous. I don't know. I just think there's these, like exactly what you just said, there's these people who are just so obscenely talented, and everything is just so through this like optimization, moneyed executives in a room lens. And I just think it's our culture is like really worse off for it. Like the fact that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is this like amazing creative visionary, and that she isn't even close to releasing something new because she's being shunted around Amazon, ping-ponged around Amazon, being stuck on like Tomb Raider projects and just random shit. You know what I mean? It's kind of the same with Lena Dunham. Like they just haven't, I think that struggle thing of like you make something and then you have to go back to your room and your normal house and think about what you want to do next and whatever. Like Michaela Cole is like obviously trying to create that environment for herself. But the fact that we don't allow that to happen anymore and we just like ram money down people's throats and just, I don't know, it just feels really sad. I feel like we're getting robbed of stuff.
Yeah, it's like Sally Rooney then tried to speak about that in her book because she was just like, essentially that whole new book was her coming to terms with how different her life is and her fame, and how is she supposed to write the books that she could write back then now when her entire life is completely different and she doesn't have those experiences anymore and she's not in those rooms or doing that stuff. It's that thing like when we were talking about Rick Rubin, not to always bring the podcast back to Rick Rubin, but how you were talking about how Andre 3000 released that incredible album and then was like sick with fear of releasing another one because people weren't going to respond to it in the same way. The whole process around creativity and like what I can't remember the exact word, like not hero, yeah, hero worship or something, just fucks everything. Because if we just treat them as a creative person who made something cool and then carry on, they'd be able to make another cool thing. But instead we fawn over them like crazy people and then they become paralyzed and stop creating.
100%. And it's like Fleabag season 2 was fucking amazing, but like everyone's just put Phoebe Waller-Bridge on way too much of a pedestal now. It was like a great small, it was like a little play that she adapted into a small low budget BBC show that was very, 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 very good. But it's like there should be 15 steps between that and like Amazon throwing $60 million at you to like basically single-handedly overhaul their creative output. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's too much pressure to put on one person. And she looks great while she's doing it.
She's got that fucking Rationale skincare going.
The skin is glowing. The Schiaparelli is Schiaparelli-ing. She looks awesome. But damn. 60 mil, baby.
60 mil.
Where's our 60 mil? After work drinks. Who's seeing the potential?
I actually must go and you must get ready for your day, but I must go because the news has now been turned on in the other room and I'm pretty sure it will be
that's your cue
coming through the mic. It's up so loud. I'm like, I'm literally on the other end of the house and I can hear the fucking news. Anyway, love you. Chat to you tomorrow.
Love you. Have a gorgeous day. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye. You too. Bye.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.